Welcome to Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. It is our pleasure and privilege to present to you the gospel message of the sovereign grace and glory of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today's program will be a blessing to you. Thank you for listening, and now for today's program.
Welcome to our program. I'm glad you could join us today. If you'd like to follow along in your Bibles, I'll be preaching from the book of Philippians in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul's letter to the church at Philippi. And the title of the message is God's Good Work. And that'll be from Philippians 1 and verse 6, God's Good Work. And what I want to preach to you today from the Word of God is show you how the work of salvation, a sinner saved by grace, in its beginning, in its continuation, and in its final, as it comes to the finality of salvation in glory, is all the work of God. And the people whom God saves are the fruit of God's good work. And so we're going to talk about, first of all, how God is the one who gets all the glory in salvation, the confidence of salvation, the assurance of salvation. Every bit of it, the glory goes to God and none to us. It is all God's good work. Now, that doesn't mean that we're not to do anything or there's nothing for us to do. We who are saved as being the recipients of a gracious, merciful, powerful work, we do many things in response and as the fruit of the work of God, the power of God, the goodness of God. And so you might hear me on this program, if you follow this program any at all, you may have heard me emphasize this fact, that salvation is not conditioned on you or me. It's not conditioned on the sinner. In other words, it's not up to us to make the difference between saved and lost. But salvation is conditioned on the Lord Jesus Christ alone, who by himself, God in human flesh, as the surety, the substitute, and the redeemer of his people, fulfilled all those conditions. And as a result of that, we who are saved are the fruit, the creation of God, if you will. And over here in Philippians chapter 1, listen to this. The apostle speaking to believers at Philippi, in verse 5 of Philippians 1, he says, "For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day unto now," verse 6, "being confident of this very thing." Now listen to these words. "That he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it." He will finish it. And that word finish, that word perform, that word finish, it's related to the word perfection, perfect. He will perfect it. He will complete it. He will bring it to its conclusion that he intended for it when he began it. "So he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." And the day of Jesus Christ refers to his second coming. It's the day of the final glorification of all of God's true people. So God began the good work in you, and he will complete it. Now, that this is speaking of the work of God. He says in verse 7, "even as it is meet for me to think this of you all." That is, it's appropriate for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers of my grace, or with me of grace. That's one other translation of it. In other words, Paul's saying that your salvation and my salvation is all of the grace of God. The grace that God gave me, He gives to all of His people. And that's what brings us together in fellowship. And it's the grace of God that is based upon the work of the Lord Jesus Christ in His cross death, His obedience unto death. He died, He was buried, He arose again the third day to meet all of the conditions of the salvation of His people. And you can break it down this way. Christ's obedience unto death is the fulfillment of all righteousness. That's what God requires for salvation. He requires righteousness. Now, God is holy, and we are not. God is righteous, and we are not. We're sinners. We fell in Adam. We were ruined by the fall. And we're born into this world spiritually dead. We have physical life, but we don't have spiritual life. That quality of life that connects God's people to God. We don't have that. And therefore, whenever we hear or see spiritual things from the Word of God, by nature, as we are born into this world, we will reject them. We will ignore them. They don't mean anything to us. I quote all the time for 1 Corinthians 2:14. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Neither can he know them. He can't know the value of them. He can know what they are. He knows enough to either reject them, devalue them, or hate them. And that's what the Bible teaches about me by nature and about you by nature. You see, the problem with salvation conditioned on the sinner, or salvation by the works or the wills of men and women, denies what the Bible says about us. The Bible says about us that we're dead in trespasses and sin. We don't have spiritual eyes to see the beauty and the glory of the things of the Spirit, the things of Christ, the things of the gospel. We don't have spiritual ears to hear with a hearing ear, with an obedient ear, the things of the gospel, the things of salvation by God's grace in Christ. And when we hear them, we will reject them either in several ways. We'll either turn totally against them in hatred, or we'll just ignore them and go along our way. And so until we're given spiritual eyes and ears, we won't see these things. Now, when does God give a sinner spiritual eyes and spiritual ears? It's in the new birth. Christ told Nicodemus in John chapter 3, except you be born again, born from above, that's the new birth. That's not our original physical birth. We're born dead in trespasses and sins in the physical birth because of our connection with Adam. You see, Adam brought all people, the whole human race, into a state of sin and death. And so in order to see and hear and know and believe these spiritual valuable things of the glory of God in the gospel and how God saves sinners by His grace through the blood and the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, who fulfilled all conditions to secure my eternal salvation and final glory. Until I'm born again, I won't see the kingdom of God. That's what He said in John 3:3. Except you be born again, born from above, you cannot see the kingdom of God. The kingdom of heaven, same thing. What do you mean you can't see it? It means you cannot understand it savingly. You cannot believe it and love it and live by it. You cannot enter the kingdom of God. Christ told the disciples in Matthew chapter 13, He said, blessed are your eyes, for they see. Blessed are your ears, for they hear. He was contrasting them with the Pharisees, who closed their eyes and shut their and covered their ears, lest they be converted. They didn't want this salvation that Christ presented. And that's all of us by nature. And so what God does is He shows His people. He gives them a new heart, the Scripture says. That's regeneration. Brings them from spiritual death to spiritual life by the power of the Spirit under the preaching of the gospel. The Bible says the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Now, the believing there is the evidence of spiritual life. It's not the cause of spiritual life. It's not the ground of spiritual life. It's not the source of spiritual life. The cause and the ground and the source of spiritual life is the grace of God, totally, based on the imputed righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. His righteousness, the merits of His obedience and death, charged to our account. And that's justification. To be justified is to be forgiven of all my sins on a just ground. And what is the just ground? The blood of Christ. You see, the forgiveness of sins is not based upon what I do or what I think or what I change. Most people today, they think you're forgiven based upon your confession. But that's not what the Bible says. I know the Bible says if you confess your sins, He is just and faithful to forgive it. But the if there is not a conditional if. It's an evidential if. It's evidence. If you confess your sins, all right, you know that you've been forgiven. What is it to confess my sins? It's to confess that all of salvation is conditioned on Christ and none of it on me because I'm a sinner. And so all of these issues of eternal life, you see, come to play here. It's the work of God. Now, one other passage that I quote quite often on this program is Ephesians 2, verse 8, and some following verses. Listen to this. Ephesians 2, 8. It says, by grace are you saved, but through faith. Faith is necessary now. You know why? Because it is a God-given gift to all whom He has justified, all whom He chose before the foundation of the world, all whom Christ redeemed on the cross. So He says, for by grace are you saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. That faith doesn't come from your natural thoughts and yearnings. That faith, that not of yourselves, that faith is the gift of God. Now, some commentators will say that, now that's not referring to faith, that's referring to salvation. My friend, it's referring to both. All of salvation is a gift from God. Now, what the Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. There's no part of salvation that you can say, I earned that, I deserve that, I worked hard to get that. No, it's all God's good work. It's a gift from God. So going back to Ephesians 2:8 now, he says, for by grace are you saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You see, if you or I make the difference between salvation and being lost, we'd have room to boast. If it was conditioned on my faith, I could say, well, I believed, and they did, they who perished didn't. Or if it's conditioned on faith and repentance, I could say, I believed and repented, and they who didn't, they're on their way to hell because they didn't do what I did. You see what I'm saying? And so that's the issue. But look at verse 10 of Ephesians chapter 2. Listen to this. He said, now remember, grace through faith, not of yourselves, not of works, lest any man should boast. And verse 10 says, for we are His workmanship. A sinner saved by grace is the work of God. It's the work, He's the work, he or she is the workmanship of God. You're not a self-made person. You're not even a self-willed person. If you were willing to believe, willing to repent, willing to be obedient, it is God who worked in you. You see, it is God who gave you that will and desire to do those things. Apart from God's good work, you wouldn't be willing to do any of that. Not according to the Scripture. You may be willing to be religious. You may be willing to join a church and get baptized. You may be willing to try to be a moral, sincere person. But you would not willingly submit to Christ as the Lord your righteousness apart from the Spirit of God doing that great work, God's good work in you. And so he says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. In other words, the work of God comes through and in and by the work of Christ. And what work did he do? Well, he came to this world. God, the Son of God, second person of the Trinity, and he united himself with human flesh without sin, not sinful flesh. He was born, he was conceived in the womb of the Virgin by the Holy Spirit, and he was born of the Virgin. He walked this earth as God-man. You see, that's what qualifies him to be the Savior of his people. He is both God and man in one person. He's the only one who could fulfill the conditions of salvation. And so he walked this earth in strict obedience to the law, absolute perfection. And he went all the way to death, the death of the cross, to fulfill all righteousness, to meet every requirement, every stipulation, every condition of the salvation of his people. And so he died because God's justice had to be satisfied. You see, the sin debt of Christ's people, his sheep, his church, God's elect, was imputed to him, charged, accounted, reckoned to him. Bible says he was numbered with the transgressors. And so he died for the sins of his sheep. All the iniquity of all his sheep was laid upon him. That's a legal, that's a metaphorical way of stating the legal imputation of my sins to Christ. And he died for me. And he was buried and arose again the third day because he finished the work. He completed the work. He put away my sins. And he brought forth an everlasting righteousness of infinite value whereby God could look at a sinner like me and say, not guilty, justified. His righteousness is imputed, charged to me. Now, that's justification. Now, if I've been justified, at some point in time, God's going to bring me under the gospel. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, he's going to begin a good work in me. And that good work in me is the new birth. Regeneration, that's the giving of life. And conversion, that's bringing me to faith in Christ and repentance of dead works. And so this is what he's talking about in verse 6 here, Philippians 1. Look at it again. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He will complete it. He's going to perfect it. Now, what that means, it's not up to us it's not conditioned on us to perfect it. God will perfect it. But let me finish Ephesians 2 and verse 10. Now, remember what he said. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works. Now look at what it says there. It doesn't say because of good works. It doesn't say conditioned on good works. It says unto good works, which God hath before foreordained that we should walk in them. Part of the completion and perfection of God's good work is the perseverance of his people based upon his preservation of his people. Now look over at Philippians chapter 2. Here's a verse of scripture that a lot of people take out of context and try to prove they'll say something like this. They'll say something like, well, we're saved by grace, but we're kept by our obedience. Or we'll continue in salvation, by our faithfulness. And that's not what the Bible teaches. Many denominations who call themselves Christians, they believe that you're saved by grace. They claim it's grace, but it's not. And then if you don't keep on being obedient or faithful or whatever, you'll lose that salvation because your continuance into it unto final glory is conditioned on you. That's a false gospel, my friend. Now, understand what I'm saying. We are God's people. Now, think about it this way. You look at Philippians 2 here just a minute. Are God's people, who are saved by grace, who are born again by the Spirit, those in whom God began this good work, are they all required to continue in the faith, to persevere in the faith, to keep on keeping on? Yes, they're required to. Why? Because it's conditioned on them, and if they don't do it, they're going to be lost again and maybe finally end up in hell? No. No, not at all. This good work that God begins, He preserves. And listen to this. I'll read the verse that people take out of context to first. But he says, this is Philippians 2 and verse 12. And this is right after the apostle had beautifully displayed and communicated the work of Christ, who was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. In Philippians 2 and verse 12, he says, wherefore, my beloved, now that wherefore means this, for this reason, or because of this, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, a lot of people will stop there. And they'll say, now, look, you better be careful. Work it out. Do your best with fear and trembling, fearing that God would cast you out, trembling that you might end up not being saved at all if you don't do enough, if you don't believe enough, if you don't repent enough, if you're not sincere enough, if you're not diligent enough, if you're not moral enough. You say, that is not what this verse is teaching. But let me read verse 13. Let's go back and read verses 12 and 13 together. He says in verse 12, wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now look at verse 13. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. See, this persevering, continuing in the faith, holding on to it, living out of the grace of God. It's the salvation that God works in his people, and we cooperate because God has given us a heart to do so, but it's his good work. The source of my perseverance, of my continuing in the faith, is not my goodness or my power. It's the goodness and power of God. And when he says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, he's talking about work out of this salvation. Here's my state before God. God has saved me by his grace. He has done a great work within me. God's good work. He sent his Spirit to bring me under the preaching of the gospel, and the Spirit has birthed me again spiritually. He's given me a new heart. He's given me a new life, spiritual life. He's given me faith to grab hold of Christ, to believe in him. He's brought me to repentance of myself, turned me away from self and my works to Christ and his work. He's bringing me to be submitted to the righteousness of Christ in the gospel as my only righteousness and ground of justification before God. He's given me a desire to believe in him and to fight sin, to war against the flesh. He's given me all those things, you see. And so I'm to work out of that state. I'm to be aware of that with fear, that is, with great respect to God. Oh, what an awesome God. A merciful God, a loving God, a gracious God, who is both just and a Savior. And with trembling because I know that to stand before God in the end without Christ is eternal death and damnation. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. So back here in Philippians 1 and verse 6, this is what he's talking about. Being confident. I'm confident. Now, what is my confidence based on? The Word of God. My confidence is not based upon the fact that I'm a preacher or that I'm a servant of God or that I'm doing my best to obey God. That's not my confidence. That's the fruit of that confidence, because the confidence is in the Word of God. Romans 8:33 says, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Now, upon what ground will God not lay any charge to me if I'm his elect. And who are his elect people? Those who believe, who the Holy Spirit has brought to believe, given the gift of faith. But what is my confidence that he won't charge me with my sin? Verse 34 of Romans 8 says, "For it is who can condemn us? For it is Christ that died, yea, rather is risen again, seated at the right hand of the Father, ever living to make intercession for his people." So what is he saying here? The confidence is this. God saves me by his grace in Christ. God keeps me in his grace in Christ. And God will bring me to glory by his grace in Christ. And the evidence of that is the work, is the good work that God has done in me in the new birth, giving me spiritual life to believe in Christ. Now that's what it's all about. You say, well, aren't you really preaching once saved, always saved? Well, yes, I am. If the salvation is of the Lord. You know why most people don't believe, or many people don't believe, once saved, always saved? Because they believe that it was conditioned on them to start with, and therefore it must be conditioned on them to continue. And if you do something to gain it, you can do something to lose it. But you see, what I'm talking about is God's good work. I'm not my own work. I'm not my own workmanship. If I'm a sinner saved by grace, I'm God's good work. You understand that? That's the whole issue now. That's what it really means to be saved by the grace of God in Christ. Over in the book of Hebrews chapter 10, it speaks of that. It talks about in verse 23, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering." Now here's the condition, here's the confidence, "for God is faithful that promised." What did God promise? He promises to save his people to the uttermost, to the nth degree, not part of the way, but all the way. This is God's good word. Hope you enjoyed this message, and hope you'll join us next week for another message from God's word.
We are glad you could join us for another edition of Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. To receive a copy of today's program, or to learn more about Reign of Grace Media Ministries or Eager Avenue Grace Church, write us at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia, 31707. Contact us by phone at 229-432-6969 or email us through our website at www.theletterrofgrace.com. Thank you again for listening today, and may the Lord be with you.